I just wanted to start off this morning by just saying how good it is to be worshiping the Lord together. Be able to hear your voices as we're worshiping. Hear our voices reflecting off these leaves and off these trees, and to feel the breeze come through. It's wonderful.
Heaven.
It's wonderful. It's heaven, right? Amen. And Julie, I've missed your flagging.
Yeah.
I missed your flagging, and boy, just feel the presence of the Lord in this place. You know, we're outdoors. We don't have walls. Church has still left the building, right? We're coming back at some point, but right now we're here together in one place. And those that are still online, it's totally fine. But I thank you for everybody who's come out here today, because this is a great opportunity for us to come together, to see each other's faces, to worship the Lord together. To hear the claps and the praises of one another as we come before the Lord, to feel His presence move among us, is a real wonderful thing about when the people of God come together. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here today. I've been on a trajectory with this series for a while. I'm taking a pause from that today. Today, we're celebrating being here together, okay? Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you that we get to be here together today. Thank you that we get to have our kids around us. Thank you that we get to be here. A city on a hill. Look at you. City on a hill. Sitting on a hill. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the word made flesh and you dwelt among us. We thank you that when you left, you didn't leave us alone. You gave us the Holy Spirit. And that we get to be your body. We get to be your hands and your feet here in the earth, Lord. Father, we thank you that we get to share in the ministry that you have given us. You've reconciled us to yourself and you reconcile us to one another, Lord. And that we get to put you on display here in the earth. I thank you, Father, for this time. We can come together once again, Lord Jesus, in your name, united in your name, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been a while since we've all been together here on a Sunday morning getting to see each other. Almost 6 months. I counted last night. It's been 25 weeks. It was March 8th, March 8th, 2020.
16 years ago.
Yeah, like 16 years ago, before we knew what 2020 was really going to be. We're getting a little bit of a taste of it. Remember the fires in Australia? It's kind of ancient history now. But 25 weeks ago was the last time we met. And Pastor Lanny was preaching, and he was talking about us caring for one another, looking at this coronavirus thing. Remember, you can do elbow bumps, but don't be hugging each other and all that stuff. If you're sick, stay home. And we were laughing about it. Somebody sneezed. She self-identified here. Brought down the house. We had a lot of fun laughing together and just looking at this, not really knowing what it was going to be. I remember I got the task from the pulpit to go get 2 hand sanitizer pumps, some stations that we could go and automatic pump. We checked while we were there in our chairs. They did not exist. I don't believe they still exist today. You can't find that stuff.
We have 2 of them.
Except here at our Father's house.
It's really hard to get refills as well.
Yeah, right. But we're here together. We're laughing. We're having a good time. Not knowing what it was that we were facing down. And the very next week, we went virtual. Brandon Monday rebuilt the church in virtual space. He's been remodeling it ever since. You just don't get to see what happens each week, but it's going on all the time. It is. And thank you very much for all of your patience that you have expressed as we've stumble along the way. Like even this last week, I'm trying to rebuild the service. Things didn't work out. Got it up that evening. But it's been a learning process. Even last night when we were broadcasting live,
I think Atlantic Broadband had a fit. Still out, yep. So we'll see if that's going to happen tonight. Stay tuned. If not, pray for IT people. Apparently they need our help. But we've been working at this whole time. You guys have been doing connection groups. You've been trying to reach out to each other. We've been doing this virtual church thing. And it's been a real struggle. In some ways, it's made us more connected in different ways. And in other ways, it's insulated us from one another. Not just us. The whole earth is experiencing this right now. Like, you're more connected but less connected. You can have face-to-face conversations, but you're on other sides of a window. You get windows into each other's worlds on other sides of the planet, but you don't get to hug and hold hands and shake and do all of that. And when we see each other in person, we've got to do this, right? It's been a strange time. It's good for the people of God to come together. Being together is good for us. I want to take us into Acts chapter 2 today, because there was a real interesting time of God's people coming together that launched something powerful in that setting. If you have physical Bibles, open them up. If you have virtual Bibles, open up your apps. We're going to go into Acts chapter 2. I want to start by sharing a couple of stories of ways that the Lord taught me about connections in the Spirit and how we as the people of God are truly connected by the Spirit of God, and we recognize ourselves and one another by the Spirit. Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. As I've been going through my courses of study, one of the exercises that I was given to do by one of my teachers was to go experience another Pentecostal or charismatic, renewalist theology type of worship setting in a completely different language setting. It was kind of a cross-cultural, intercultural type of thing. She said, if I could take you all to, you know, the Southern Hemisphere and we can go into one of these churches, you'd have a totally different experience. But the good news is, here in America, you could probably walk down the street and find a church and walk in, and you're in a totally different experience. So she assigned that to us, and we had to do a field study and write it all up and say what we experienced in that. So I called up Pastor Lanny. I said, do you know some churches that I could go to around here that would fit this bill? I went to the Church of God over here on Chancellor's Run. They have a Spanish-speaking church there, led by Pastor Evaristo. And I got to go and be with them. And it is fully Spanish in there. And I speak a little bit of Spanish. I understand more Spanish than I can speak. But I went in there and got to meet him. And I went on a Wednesday evening with them. And they started into this, and it was right into prayer, right into praise and worship. And there were songs that we were singing that I had never heard of before, because they weren't written in English, translated to Spanish. You know, there's songs that we write because of the way we speak and the words we choose. But if you have a completely different language makeup, you're going to write different songs. You're going to express that differently. The rhythms and the cadences of the speech are going to be tied to that language. So I went in there, and I just said, okay, Lord, I want to be here with you and with your people, experiencing you here today. And I didn't ask that they try to translate for me or anything like that. I'm just here to experience what you guys do. And something interesting happened. I got pulled right into what the Lord is doing in that place. I mean, you expect that, right? But to experience it is a different thing. I couldn't understand everything they were saying, but I got the gist of what was going on. But more importantly, my spirit was resonating with the Spirit of God in that place with the other believers that I was there with. Those were my brothers and sisters, and we were there lifting up the name of Jesus, Jesus Cristo, right? His name sounds different. It's the same name. And we were praising him, and we were worshiping him, and it was the most impactful worship experience I had had in years. And that's not to knock us. But my spiritual senses were attuned. My antenna was up because my language was down. Think about that for a second. My language was down. And I still understood a bit of Spanish. But I was resonating with what was going on there with the other believers that were in that room. And it was powerful and it was impactful. Fast forward a couple years to last year. Pastor Lanny and I got to go to Ukraine. By the way, pray for the pastor, Sergey and his wife Luda. They're still dealing with coronavirus there and their family. He's still in the hospital. Please be lifting him up. He needs our prayers. He needs a miracle from the Lord. But we were there with them. I don't speak Ukrainian. I don't even understand more than maybe 3 to 5 words. I got a little bit better while I was there. But my language barrier was even that much more intense. And we went into to worship and praise and go into the services with his churches. And even more so, I didn't know what was going on unless Anna was whispering in my ear, he's talking about this right now. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, they're talking about you. Okay. Get ready, right? But it didn't matter. Once again, I experienced the presence of the Lord in a dramatic way. As my spirit was united with the spirits of people in that room by the same spirit, because he draws us together. Language, which was even more of a barrier there, shut down that sense. You know, when folks are blind or they're deaf or they have other primary senses that have been shut off for one reason or another, the other senses become heightened. And I was experiencing that in a language way. My language was down, but my spirit was on. And what I experienced from the people was what we experience in the body of Christ, which was warmth, which was acceptance, which was love, it was care. They came and they brought us little cups of coffee. By the way, coffee in Ukraine is phenomenal. They love their coffee. They brought us coffee. They were just taking care of us. And we couldn't understand each other like this, but we could understand each other like this. We got to the end of the message. We've been worshiping together. My just tears were flowing. Just the presence of the Lord was so amazing in that place. Just to feel the Spirit of God in another part of the planet with other people that, if they're here with us right now, you'd be getting right along with them because they are in our family. They're also part of the body of Christ. It amazed me how much the Lord can break down any other barriers that we have. Time, distance, ethnicity, language, doesn't matter. 30 years ago, we probably consider ourselves enemies because of where our nations are. But in the body of Christ, God is already uniting us. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Remember here, they've been in the upper room for a while. They've been gathered together in prayer. The Lord told them to wait together. There's no time and no distance in the Spirit. But proximity means something. Being together. And they're here at Pentecost. And Pentecost is a first fruits celebration. The spring celebration. So when you're celebrating the first fruits, and people gathered together there in Jerusalem. So you've got people from all over the kingdom of God at that time, right? It's the people of Israel that are scattered through nations, and they're brought together in Jerusalem at that point in time celebrating this first fruits. And here's what happened. So good. God gathered his people together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Pay attention to that phrase. God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. He had gathered them there together. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon will be moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Yeah. Thank you,
hallelujah. He goes on to tell them that God sent the Messiah and they killed him. And their hearts are rended open. And they ask, what must we do? And Peter replies here in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who call, whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This goes into what their fellowship was like in those early days. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see a lot of coming together in that. You see a lot of breaking bread together in that. You see a lot of unity in that. They all had something to bring. They all had something to offer. They all had something to give to one another. Because apart from everything else that was separating them, they are united in the Spirit. And that wasn't a substandard thing. It wasn't like, well, at least we got the Spirit. We're united by the Spirit of God. Everything else that would separate us has to bow down to that. Whatever thoughts, whatever imaginations that we have that would exalt itself above the name of Jesus has to surrender in that situation, because it's the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we are called to preserve. And His name be lifted high. You know, we have a bunch of guys that get together on Wednesday mornings, and I think it was a couple months ago, we were talking about how iron sharpens iron. Sparks fly. You know, when you sharpen iron, there's burrs that come up. There's edges that get dulled. There's surfaces that need to be honed off. We all have those in our lives, and we grind against each other. But it's not without purpose. See, when we're bound by the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, the purpose of that grinding is to sharpen us. It's to hone that edge. It's to knock off the rough spots. that we can't see, but sometimes other people can, right? We've all got them. We need that grinding of each other. What I've experienced over these past 25 weeks, that sometimes that insulation that we have there keeps us apart. We got those pieces of iron moving around in the wind. And it's harder for us to come together and do that grinding mutually. We forget sometimes that we're part of the same body. It's just part of our nature. When we come together, when we get to see each other's faces, when we get to hear each other's voices, when we get to feel the Spirit drawing us together, we realize that there's a purpose in that grinding. There's an honoring of that other person, those other people, that has to happen. It has to happen. Because in doing so, we honor the Lord. We all have something to bring to the table. It says so right here. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. I think it's funny because he talks about not getting drunk here. And on Pentecost, they thought they were drunk. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming together in the Spirit, bringing what it is that you have to offer. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. God is building His church. He's given us each gifts. And it's been a hard time for us to exercise our gifts in these past 6 months. A lot of those gifts get expressed in person. A lot of those gifts don't translate well when it comes to virtual, at least not obviously. But He's given us to one another as gifts. How much has it meant to you when somebody's called you up and just said, "How are you doing? How are things going for you guys? What are you guys healthy? You doing okay? How's your emotions doing?" Yeah, us too. Yeah, we're riding that roller coaster too. I have my good days. I got my bad days. To be honest, it's been a bad day recently. All right, come on. Let's get back up. Let's pray together. If that hasn't happened for you, do it for someone else. Reach out. Be the one that reaches across and holds the other person's hand, even if it's not physically. Because we're called to one another. We're part of the same body. We're here to build one another up. We don't know if we're having a dark day right now, looking around. You don't know who's having a dark day any more than you do over a Zoom meeting or over a phone or anything else. How do we know? By reaching out to one another, by talking to one another. There's a lot of ideologies thrown around right now. Facebook has become a minefield. You know what really helps though? Hey, how you doing? How's things going? Now just thinking about you, Lord, put you on my heart. I want to pray for you. Can we pray right now? There's so much division. There's a spirit of division that's being worked into our nation right now. It's being worked into the church. And the way that we combat it as the people of God is to recognize that it is a spirit. It's not the person or the people. There's a spiritual entity that is trying to drive division among us. But when we come together, when we remember that we're part of the same body, we lift one another up in prayer, we go before the Lord, and we combat that thing in the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit first. It's the Spirit first. Whatever else that divides us has to fall at the feet of Jesus. When we feel that frustration and stuff coming on as we're watching all this thing going on in our community and within our body and within the nation, we should come down on our knees together and just say, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Whatever's trying to whip us up against each other, come, Lord, and break this thing. Because we as the people of God are the standard that the Lord will raise to bring unity, to bring peace, to put the Father on display. But at the end of the book, we win. That's good news. We win. And whatever is within us that comes up that does not align with Christ, it must fall away. Because he's drawing us forward in him, together. The nations are being shaken right now. We as the people of God are feeling shaken right now. Because there's stuff that he wants to bust loose in us so that he can continue to bring us forward. He is purifying us. He is strengthening us. He is drawing us to one another. He's helping us to recognize those things that unite us, which really ultimately is found in his Spirit. And he wants to put that on display in us. Something each of us needs to do in this time, in this season, is draw near to the Lord and not become wearied by everything that is going on around us. Let's face it, we're feeling wearied. I've got days where I sit there in the chair and I don't even want to do a thing because my emotions and my spirit are just wearied. I know I'm not the only one. A wise person contacted me months ago and said, Pastor Jay, you just need to be aware what we're all experiencing is mass trauma. This is a mass trauma event. We're all going to respond to it differently. Some people it's going to be more evident. For all of us, we're going through something and it can't not affect us. So if you're feeling wearied right now, you're not alone. And it doesn't make you a bad or weak Christian. It makes you human. He's like the rest of us. You got to reach out to the Lord. Say, Father, I need your strength right now because I'm feeling weak. I need your power right now because I'm just feeling wearied. I don't even want to take another step right now. Come, Holy Spirit. I need your strength. If God puts somebody else around here, or who's online, or whoever it is, on your heart, pray for them, because they're probably feeling similarly. And he's called us to one another. Another thing that we have to begin to prepare ourselves for, as we're coming back together, I don't know what the timeline like that looks like for us before we're back in this structure over here. But as we're coming back together, we have to combat within each of us a consumer mindset. We've been in the time for almost 6 months we're being fed through screens, whatever else it is, our experience with one another. This is the first opportunity for many of us to be together and to participate together in this way, in physical space together. But that creep towards being consuming in our spiritual expressions and in our worship and in our gatherings together creeps in. It creeps in on us and it goes unannounced. It settles in for us. I encourage you right now to begin asking the Lord, Lord, how is it that you want me to engage in this season and to engage as we move forward in this next season that's to come? Because we're in a season right now. This isn't going to be forever. He has another side to all of this. Even if it's just picking up the phone and working on the relationships with one another, that's active engagement with one another. It's active engagement with the gifts that he's given you. Because some of you are encouragers. Some of you are prophetic. Some of you are teachers. Some of you have a pastoral bent. You care about people deeply. Some of you have hearts of mercy. The gifts that we are able to express to one another are needed in this time because the body is there to build itself up as we all grow in maturity We're not there yet, folks. God is building us. He's strengthening us. He's creating something new in us. And he's doing something global right now to the earth, but to the body of Christ, he's doing something global to us. I believe he's helping us recognize the things that are very important. We've become very distracted as a people. But he wants us to be focused on him. He wants us to be focused on our relationship with one another. He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to experience the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And having gone through the trials, sparks flying, so we get down to that honed edge. Because we are going to represent something different. We already are. We're going to represent something very different than what the world has to offer. He wants us to stand apart so that we are that city on a hill where people see the darkness that they're in and the darkness that the world has to offer and the failures of what the culture has as solutions. They're going to look to the people of God and say, look, they've got it figured out over there. Something's different over there. They're not fighting like we are. They actually are doing this thing and they're living it. It's authentic. And it's transcendent for what I'm experiencing right now. I'm going to go to that city on a hill. Not everybody will. But God will call people to that. I want to pray for you guys right now as we close out. I don't have anything to give you for communion today. So next time, bring some bread or crackers or something like that, some juice, some water, whatever it is, we'll do communion together. Okay? But today, we're celebrating being together again for the first time on a Sunday morning in 25 weeks. We're going to try to make this the new norm for us on Sunday mornings. If we get weathered out, we know how to go virtual. Okay? But the coming together is what we want to be doing. We got a window of weather that's looking pretty nice for the next couple of months. Winter's coming. We don't know what's going to happen in that point in time. It's 2020. But while we can, we're going to be coming together. Anybody else become really flexible in your planning? Yeah? Okay. Father, I bless your people. Thank you, Lord, for this season that you have us in. I thank you for the gifts that you have imparted to each of these people, Lord. Lord, gifts that you embedded in them, you designed in them, you destined in them, Lord, from before the dawn of time, because you had a plan. You had a purpose for them in this season and in the one to come. So, Lord, as we've been in this dormant phase, and we've been in this time where we've been secluded, we've been away from each other, we've been really under this blanket, whatever this is, Lord, I ask that you would bring forth new life in us, Lord. I ask that things that would have restricted us in the past would fall away like a husk, Lord, and that there be new life in the giftings that you've given us. Lord, as we tap into your Spirit, as things have been shaken, let what is to be shaken in us fall away, Lord, as we cling to you, the only one who cannot be shaken. That you would put yourself on display in us. Lord, I pray for our relationships with one another. I pray for our relationships with you, that both would be strengthened, Lord. Lord, I ask right now that you would work your unity, your peace, because of your Spirit. Lord, I thank you that we get to be here together. I thank you that we get to experience you here together today, Lord. It is different. It is different, and you are showing us, Lord, that it is different. Lord, you're showing us the value in one another. And Lord, I bless your people. I bless us right now, Lord Jesus, as we draw near to you amidst the shaking, that we would become grounded and rooted in you. That whatever things are within us that would exalt themselves above you, Lord, we would recognize them and we would say no more. and we would turn instead to you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your great love for us. I thank you that you sent your Son for us, that you destroyed all the dividing lines between us, and you tore the veil, Lord, that separated us from you. And you gave us a way to you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would mature us. I ask that you would strengthen us, that you would impart to us what is needed, Lord, and that you would bring us through the processes of maturity. Draw us to you and draw our hearts to one another, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the season that you have on the other side of this one, Lord. Lord, I pray for a spirit of evangelism, Lord, to come and to draw people to you. That in the brokenness that this world is experiencing right now in this season, Lord, that there would be a harvest that comes forth. There would be people that would be drawn to you, Jesus. And that we would see a great harvest, Lord. We would see hearts turn to you. We would see your Spirit poured out, Lord. Lord, that you would prepare us to disciple the generations that are coming, Lord. You would strengthen us, Lord. You'd help us to recognize the things that do not work, Lord, and remember that it is only by your name, Lord, we find victory in this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, body of Christ, city on a hill. Greet one another masked and enjoy your conversations with each other. But truly, enjoy being in one another's presence. And together here in the presence of the Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sanctuary that we have here. What a beautiful place. Hallelujah. See you next week. And tonight, 6:30, if we can get online.